This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We do have a really strong Marquette contingent.
A lot of Marquette people.
Which I guess it makes sense. Midwest on Midwest. It would make sense that there are a lot of Clevelanders that went to Marquette.
What time are they playing? Oh, they play at 7:30. This is the right time to be going in there. You get 7:30 game. You're at the bar right now hanging out. You'll be nice and toasty. You'll maybe go to the arena around 5:30 or so. It's going to be a great time.
Get ready for it. We just had John Ledyard on. I guess I'll just ask you, because we didn't have a rejoin. What stood out more to you?
Well, we got an interesting comp for Shedeur Sanders and Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting. You could tell he was just not a fan of anything that Shedeur does.
Yeah.
Which is okay. That's the beauty of Shedeur Sanders in many ways, is that for some he is, great, and for others he's got a lot of things he's got to work on.
You know me. I've really struggled with Shedeur because you've made such an impassioned plea that I don't want to be dismissive of you, and I very rarely have ever seen you go this hard in the paint for something.
I go
like
hard
this.
In the paint for a lot of things.
Well, I mean, like, to this degree.
For a lot of things.
Like, you planted your flag on this one, and you've not wavered, unlike certain shows on the station, like the LeBron
that's true.
Of Cleveland Sports Talk.
The flip-floppers.
Who within the same show said four different things. Like, you haven't done that.
Hey, did you hear? They're back to loving Shedeur today, by the way.
That's good. That's good.
And they took a two-day reprieve, and now they're back to loving Shedeur and the Shedeur Sanders show. Nice to see you guys.
Hey, if you hate Shedeur, don't worry. They'll hate him again on Monday.
That's right. Like the wind.
So I guess my thing is, what he said about Shedeur really is at the crux. I think Shedeur's a bit of a paradox because Shedeur has some skill in anticipatory throws. So initially I didn't see that. Actually, I had a buddy send me a couple clips, so that's a strength in the Stefanski offense. Also, very accurate.
Yeah.
Strength in the Stefanski offense. The problem is, he also holds onto the ball too long.
And that's been one thing a lot of people have gotten on him. But I don't think that's why the draft community doesn't like him, Nick. I really don't. I think there are segments of the draft community that just doesn't like him because he doesn't throw the ball 65 yards down the field.
Well, and I mean, that was something John said, that you get a lot of dying quails down the field. That, you know, for some people, it's a velocity thing, meaning like you don't throw hard enough to be accurate down the field. With Shedeur, it's just he just doesn't have arm strength. I think that's interesting.
Well, that's why it's one thing that I would wish he would display a little bit more maybe at his pro day, but I also do think people get wrapped up, and this is the point I made with Ken the other day. I think people get wrapped up on the idea thinking that the game is played 50 yards down the field all day long, and it just isn't. Patrick Mahomes had six passes of 40 yards or more last year. You know how many Drake May had of 40 yards or more last year?
I say one.
One. You're dead on. Because yeah. You know ball. You yeah. Knew that answer.
Right? People around here are saying I know more football than Ken Carmen.
So much of
who
the game.
Who am I to argue?
So much. A lot of people have come up, by the way, and told me that. I mean, like, just everyone that comes up to me says, you know how much more ball Nick Wilson knows than Ken Carmen.
Yep.
The LeBron James of football.
X's and O's, you know, scouting stuff. But the ins, the outs, the nits, the grits, you know.
I do think the scouting community, the people that judge these type of things, I think they weigh heavily on that component to it, and that's just something that Shedeur has never been able to dispel at this point in his career.
Now, something that we didn't get to with John was the Browns signing of Tevin Jenkins yesterday. And it's been kind of interesting to see because, you know, my first impulse on air was this doesn't feel like a depth move. Now, if it is a depth move, it's as good of a move as you could possibly make for depth. Because Tevin, I know the health stuff's real. Tevin is a legit, really good starting guard in the NFL and probably should be starting somewhere.
Yeah.
If it's not, it's still a good move, but it then opens up the what are you going to do with whether it's Wyatt Teller or Joe Bitonio that opens up a spot for Tevin Jenkins.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very interested if they just look at their offensive line the past 2 years and just think to themselves, we've been so injured that we just have to have basically starter equivalent as the backups, and it's the only way we're going to survive. I don't hate that plan. I mean, have as many good offensive linemen as you can is not a bad plan, but I'm dying to find out the numbers attached to this.
Yeah.
Do they pay him starter money?
I think that's going to tell people a lot. It also wouldn't surprise me, by the way, if they didn't pay him starter money and he still ended up starting, meaning like sometime in camp that a deal materialized for likely Wyatt Teller. You know me. The idea of trading Wyatt Teller is pretty annoying to me because Wyatt still has a lot of good football. Just pay the man his third contract. But that feels like the likely move unless you think he can bump out to tackle, at which point That could go from a good depth move to being a huge steal if he can do what he didn't do well early in his career in Chicago, which is play tackle.
So that would be the scary part to me if they looked at it and said, this is DeJuan Jones insurance. Because I don't think he can do it at a left tackle in the NFL. I just don't. He was such a good guard. I would be surprised if Tevin Jenkins was even trying to make that move.
So the reason I don't discount it is I think Tevin fits your system here better than he had in Chicago. They kind of bumped around from a few different systems there.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a second-round pick that struggled as a tackle. I don't know that it's filling me up with a lot of faith, but listen, at this point, I think we're throw stuff at the wall and see what sticks with the offensive line.
Yeah, and I do wonder, though, like if they were to – I saw people earlier suggesting that this means we're getting Brandon Ayuk because the deal there would be you get rid of Teller and then you get Ayuk and then Jenkins would be the slide-in. A lot of that just doesn't seem to fit the vibes of what they've been doing this offseason.
Yeah, it'd be weird if your quarterbacks are Kenny Pickett, Joe Flacco, and Will Howard. And you're like, it's time like, we got Ayuk. Brandon Ayuk.
And Ayuk, by the way, has he's got a $30 million bonus that's coming his way April 1st.
Yeah.
So I think there's some urgency attached to some of these conversations, even if you can't necessarily do a lot with Teller in the current moment. I'm so confused by this Browns team and what they're trying to do this offseason. Are they trying to do more for this year? Are they trying to just not do anything for this year? None of it's adding up.
Well, I think what's important to remember is there's just a lot of innuendo out there. It would totally make sense that the Browns are still in on Brandon Ayuk because they were in all last year up until he re-signed in San Francisco. And I will say, like, not a fan of trading Wyatt Teller. If there were no pick swaps and you could just do Wyatt Teller for Brandon Ayuk,
yeah,
I think that is probably a win-win for the 49ers, and it's a win-win for San Francisco. The key is you'd have to talk Ayuk into pushing his roster bonus into the summer.
Yeah,
because you just can't trade Wyatt Teller until June 2nd. But that would be the kind of win that I'd be like, I don't really think it adds much wins now, but if you're a quarterback by committee, meaning you can't control the caliber of quarterback you're going to get, well, you can control the pieces around him. And Ayuk and Judy is better than Judy and Tillman.
No question about it. I mean, Ayuk, even after the torn ACL, still has a lot of good football. What happened, people are like, well, then why do the 49ers want to get rid of him? The 49ers, with the trade of Debo and everything else attached to it, they're trying to get as many contracts off the books as they possibly can.
Yeah.
And they paid him a lot of money. And they were very upset with the back and forth that went down. And then the season that transpired after the back and forth where Ayuk held the team hostage, there's just a lot of bad blood between the two. So he's definitely on the table for the Browns.
It's just wild. Like, if you said they'd trade for Brandon Ayuk, I'd be like, oh, that's cool. And I'd be pretty bummed about Wyatt, honestly. I think Wyatt might be one of my probably three favorite players right now.
Yeah.
The dude's just a nasty. I love when offensive linemen play with attitude, and he does that in spades.
The problem there, though, is that I don't know that I can rely on Jenkins in the slightest bit from a health standpoint. We talked about the good pickup, but he is not a very healthy player. And then if it's not him in the back of that, then you'd have to put Zinner into actual games if one of the injuries happened. And then, oh, by the way, we don't know that Joe Bitonio looked like the first half of last year or the second half of last year.
Yeah, I mean, again, so maybe it's because I've chilled on the idea. I really think they're going for my plan, which I said at the beginning of free agents, or at the beginning of the offseason, I said, You don't have enough talent. This year, this needs to be a let's reset the deck.
The poison pill year.
The poison pill year. Take your medicine, and let's see where you are in 2026. So I think that maybe it's that I've accepted that that's where they are, that I don't feel the sense of urgency. I think that's where they are. Two, I'd be happy if they realize that's where they are, because that's the most honest thing I think we've done with them for about 3 years from a we got to try and go win side of things.
It feels like to me the second most likely option.
Of what?
If you're making me rank it out, I think the first likely option is they take a quarterback at number two, either Shador or Cam Ward, and I think the second most likely option is they do just take this poison pill year and then they regroup for next year.
I think it's Cam Ward or Abdul Carter or a trade down. I have no sources on this one. I haven't reached out. I haven't talked to the people on the street. Haven't talked to people at Giant Eagles like some other hosts like to do to get definitive takes out there.
I might actually even be more alarmed if you had talked to people inside the building right now, because they are throwing everything and anything at everyone.
But, like, I really am convinced that they will earn my respect if this year is what Denver was supposed to have last year, which is, hey, we're just going to focus on developing young talent. We'll figure it out later. I should note that cannot remember the Twitter follower's name. Abdul Carter follows the Browns on Twitter. Should we turn in the card now?
Oh, Abdul Carter is now following the Browns?
Yes, he is.
Why would he follow the Browns?
So maybe he wants to be that number two pick. Maybe slide into that DMs as we speak.
I got to think about this one. Did he follow any other NFL teams?
I did not see any other NFL team while I was checking that.
Exclusively only following the Browns.
I believe that.
But we could miss something there, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a weird follow.
I think it's the right follow.
It's a weird follow.
I think he's warming up to be a Cleveland Brown.
Is that like his age group's way of being like, come hang out?
I'm 99% sure guys from Robert Morris just came in.
Yeah.
Those are some tall Lithuanian-looking dudes right there.
Yeah, I mean, those guys definitely just played in the
basketball game. Bosnia. What do you think? Which part of the Eastern Bloc do you think they're from?
I think he still has his jersey on underneath the hoodie right there. Do you see the jersey?
Oh, look at that. That's good.
You can see the jersey.
So we got to ask them if they think that was a win for them today.
I think that's a win. I think if we can go over there and ask them, I think they'd say, yeah, that was a job well done by us. We were competitive with Alabama down the stretch. That's good for us.
Is the Tevin Jenkins move a sign of bigger moves for your Cleveland Browns? One name down, actually two names down for your Cleveland Guardians. That's coming up with a spring training report in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.